All right, it's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. I'm going to be taking a second to share this around because this is a conversation that a lot of people have wanted to have for a long time. I'm sitting down with John Torres, who is the manager of the Park City Music Hall, but you might know it also as The Acoustic. John, thank you for being here, dude.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I have a million questions, and I'm sure people who, you know, have been bring me back to the early days of the pandemic. When did this decision for your family and for you to kind of come in and become a part of this venue start? When did that decision start happening?
Sure. So, I think my first conversation with Will Vega, the former owner, the first one started back in October of 2019, somewhere in that range, you know, time period. It was just a sort of a, hey, would you want to do this? Will was sort of like looking into options. He was thinking of maybe doing, having somewhat of a community takeover and like a FTC kind of model. In any case, he had sort of approached me and asked me if my family would want to do it. And it evolved, the conversation evolved over time, and it sort of progressed before it started before the pandemic, and it kind of ended. It took most of the pandemic to really seal the deal. So, yeah, that's kind of when it started. The pandemic really kind of expedited it, especially for the former owners. They were just kind of ready to have it, you know, evolve into what it was going to be next. And they sort of wanted to step away. So, and, you know, he approached me, he knew that I've been going there since it opened. I've been a regular for many years. And then beyond that, just my family's sort of like, business knowledge.
Such a part of this community too. Yeah. Sorry.
But sure.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But like just the, we have just sort of some of the basic things you need to do something like this. Obviously I am a musician. Right. I am a social media sort of graphic design type person, marketing. I've worked in doing music marketing as well. And then my family's knowledge with food and beverage is just going to, is sort of like, it makes it a lot easier for us to sort of just step into this role.
Definitely. No. And I mean, well known in the neighborhood. If you've never gone to the Harborview Market in Black Rock, you should go because it's delicious. I used to live right around the corner from there. And it's funny because when I first heard that this was going to happen, it was like a storybook ending, like in the midst of all of this. It really was, man, like in the midst of all of this, this insecurity and this terror, it's just like, oh, the Torreses are going to buy the Acoustic. Like you couldn't write a better ending to that than just like, oh my God, John's a musician. You know, it's exactly what to do with it. The Torres, respected business owners in the community. It's a perfect marriage. Did you have any hesitancy moving sure. into that role though?
I thought you were going to ask.
Well, no, sorry. What did you think I was going to ask?
I had a sense you'd sort of built it up and then you're like, were you a little nervous about it? Cause yes, yeah, I kept me up many nights, and I'm not kidding. I was very nervous about it. I was nervous for many, many reasons too. It wasn't just, is this going to work? There's just so many moving parts to this that it was hard to really wrap my brain around all of it, how the magnitude of it, because it's a big undertaking. There's a lot of, you know, everybody's very excited, so there's a lot of pressure there, and I knew everybody was going to be excited, so there's a lot of pressure to do it really well, and so that was really what kept me up many nights. But at some point I just said, you know what, I just went all in and decided that I was going to make it work, and so far it's been really wonderful. Everything's fallen together really well. We're still waiting on some permits and stuff, but once we actually get the permits, we're thinking about 2 months of renovation. It shouldn't take too long. We're getting all our ducks in a row now. So we're just really excited. But yeah, was there hesitancy? Definitely. Definitely hesitancy.
Right. I mean, there is a lineage to the neighborhood. I mean, you know, you were nice enough to invite me in a couple of, I guess it was like 2 months ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, just show me what you've been doing. And we'll get into the specifics of that later. It's really, it's incredible. What I saw was amazing. But did you have from the get-go an immediate vision for what you wanted the place to look like, or did that evolve?
I have always felt I had, okay. So the acoustic for those, the uninitiated, when it started back in like 99, 2000, well, it began as sort of a shotgun. It was a long, it was like a tube basically. And as other businesses, you know, next to them left, they would sort of absorb more pieces and they would add them onto their space. I think what it was calling for, the space to me, was a complete knockdown redesign to better make use of the square footage, because the square footage is significant. After taking over the Varsity Barber space, which they were nice enough to move a couple doors down, we actually outfitted their new space for them and got it all ready for them. Yeah, Varsity Barber, I redid their logo, all kinds of stuff. There, really exciting stuff going on for them. But when we took over their old space, that added about 500 square feet, bringing the total square footage to about 3572, which is a large enough room to allow a much higher occupancy than they had.
Yeah,
so
that sounds big.
We basically moved things to the edges. So bathrooms are not, prior, if you remember, they were sort of in the center right behind the sound booth. Now they're off to the back right corner. We got rid of all storage on the floor. All storage is now above you. We have 15-foot ceilings, so it allows for more floor space, less clutter on the floor. Everything's going to be above your head. Not that you'll see it. It's right. Some is above the bathroom, some is in the green room, some is in the kitchen. But yeah. So I think I've lost track of the question. But I think I'm answering it right.
Yeah, no, you answered it, and you've been moving into the next one, which is okay. The changes that have been made. And you know, I mean, like you said, the expansion of that floor space, moving the stage to the back of the room, so it is the first thing that you see when you walk in.
Yeah.
But I mean, without giving it away, there's a second higher level. If you're catching my metaphor that you went for, if you could just go into that.
I'm going to let you down here because
the
price of steel nearly, you know, going up 167%. We just had to bail. What John is referring to is a mezzanine that we were going to do, and we may still do. That may be round two as prices come back down to earth, but it would have killed our budget. So, I think what I'm actually starting, I want to actually exist in the space without the mezzanine, because now that it's so open with the Varsity Barber space not there, you really get a sense for it. And I wonder if that mezzanine might have sort of made it feel a little bit like, you know, a little tighter. So yeah. I'm excited. I really like how spacious and large it is. So I guess other really exciting things that are happening are, because the Varsity Barber space moved, that doubled our street frontage. So whereas prior you kind of walked into the acoustic through a 20-foot sort of opening. I mean, it was just a door, but their entire frontage was 20 feet. It then opened up into a larger rectangle. This taking over the Varsity space allows us to double that street frontage and sort of complete the rectangle of the space. And then that allows us to do our dream two big garage doors in the front, which have been ordered. So it's just going to be a very big, spacious, open, environment, and with the bar pushed forward so that when you walk in, you're kind of already, it sort of shrinks the space when it doesn't need to be big. So if you want to come over for, you know, we're going to have just like a jazz guitarist brunch or something and have some drinks and stuff on the, in the bar area and on the patio, the back room, you don't even have to step back there. Everything's right at the front.
Right. So it can be more of like a relaxed, just drink and talk with your friends environment.
Exactly.
While also having the music present.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. Sorry to bring up the mezzanine. I didn't mean to touch on a sore subject. When I saw it, I was like, damn, that's nuts. That's ambitious. These guys are going for it.
Well, we were there. We were 100% there. I'm putting a positive spin on it. Like, oh, you know, I think it's nice with it open, but I am a little depressed that we're not doing it. It really would have been very cool. And we may still do it in, you know, phase two.
I'm sorry that you lost it, but I see the vision and I like the idea of keeping it just like wide open as soon as you walk in there.
Super cool.
As soon as you walk in there. So I mean, well, you know what? To piggyback off of that, what about capacity? What's capacity looking like in there?
Well,
or is it too early to have that conversation? I don't know.
You know, I have a range, I think. It's an unscientific range that I've sort of developed. I'm really hoping for 250 as a absolute floor. minimum yeah. 250, and it could be much more than that. The architects to somewhat of a it's like you take your square footage and divide it by this variable, and then it spits out an occupancy, and his was in the 400s. Now I don't think we'd ever get to 400, nor do I think it would be that comfortable if you were in the 400s. But I do think 300 is a really nice spot. Other things that we've done that are going to really help with that are increase the number of bathrooms. So now there's a way dedicated women's room and dedicated men's room, both with four toilets in the women's, two toilets and two urinals in the men's. We've increased our emergency exits. So you've got these additional these are the things that the fire department's looking for when they want to give you a higher. They're like, all right, well, you want a higher occupancy. Do you have these things? We're doing all the things that they would want. So yeah, we're hoping to be in the threes. I think that'd be really great. So
yeah, man, that'd be incredible. So, you know, as I was writing that question down, I was thinking to myself, with a higher occupancy, and just with a bigger room like this, the level of acts that you can pull into this place is gonna just vary greatly. So obviously, I'm sure it might be too early for booking. Maybe it's not, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But how are you gonna balance the beauty of the acoustic? For me, was the fact that I could see a national touring act, but it wasn't too intimidating and too weird for myself to just kind of get up on that stage. And just be a part of the community. What plans do you have to keep that open mic warmth there, but also incorporate the full capabilities of a big, huge room that we all want, you know?
Yeah. So one thing that you should know, we should all, I'll just give the same TED talk that I was given by my very good friend Aaron Busick, who is a huge, massive influence on the acoustic, the Park City Music Hall. He's been really helpful. He's a production manager out in Houston. He manages three large venues there. And he basically he explained when we were getting into this, like, hey, what are we getting into? And can I explain it? One thing he said is that we're probably going to be what's called a menu venue. And a menu venue is one where it's almost like every day the menu changes. Like Mondays may be blues night. That'll be a local thing. Tuesdays, that would be an open mic night. Wednesday, maybe we get a nationally touring act that our talent buyer is placed in there, and we've got a sellout crowd, hopefully. And then Thursday, we don't have anything, so we're doing reggae nights on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? So it really changes night to night. And I mean, that's kind of that's keeping cool with what the acoustic was doing anyway.
Totally.
But just to increase the sort of, so you mentioned open mic night. I literally became a musician as a result of open mic night,
same
watching
thing,
Darian Cunning and Larissa DiLorenzo and all of the greats that of like the 2000s, I guess, the aughts,
right,
that were located in Bridgeport. I want to make that a thing again. I want to make it wonderful. And in order to do that, we're going to any night like an open mic night, we've actually already purchased them. We got these vintage beer garden tables. So the interior of the space will essentially be a massive beer garden with communal seating. So, which again, shrinks the space again. Because one thing that I remember about the latest iteration of the acoustic is you walked in and there wasn't much of like a, I don't know if the right word is, but like a topography. You didn't really know which way to go, really.
Yep.
I want to define the space a little bit better. So, you know, okay, I'm going to sit over there. The bar is very clearly here. There's bar stools around there. There's seating over there. There's seating behind me. There's a patio. There's a back patio. The garage doors to the back patio are open. You know, you kind of get like your bearings quickly, and it's a fun, very inviting space. In fact, another place that I'll bring up from old school 2000s was the green room. Do you remember the green room back when it was over by Checkers, I forget what it's called, Snickering Squirrel, like on that side of Black Rock? It was like a living room.
No, oh, man, I missed that
awesome
whole thing.
It was awesome.
I wasn't Black Rock until 2010, though. That's
okay,
the
you
thing.
Missed,
so I missed
you
the
missed
aughts.
It. It was
I missed
great.
The aughts.
It was so great. And it was just like a living room. You know, there was a pool table there, and there was seating, and there was couches. We want to make it like that on nights like open mic night, where you're not expecting to, you know, it's not going to be 300 people coming up. We'd love to have 75 people as a sort of a max there. But even if it was 20 or 25 people, you want to make it a space that feels like comfortable for that number of people, despite being large. So we've been really tossing around the word modular. We're going to have a modular sort of, sorry, I just got a, I see Dave, Dave Schneider just said he loved the green room.
That's right. That green room. Right.
So on that Monday night or Tuesday night where we've got open mic or whatever, we might be bringing in couches and rugs and comfy seating and all of that. And then, you know, Wednesday night we've got, you know, I don't know.
So a whole different vibe, you know, per night to really like, I mean, yeah, of course, as you mentioned, bringing in those beer garden tables, but just, you know, also throw pillows to really change and adapt the vibe of the venue for the event itself on a weekly basis.
And on a day-to-day basis.
So I mean,
the beer garden tables are cool because they're foldable. They fold. So everything goes under the stage when not in use. So this each stage, the stage actually has four drawers, massive 15-by-4-foot drawers that come out, and we have storage under there. It's just that's how we're going to sort of achieve this modularity, you know, which otherwise would be pretty difficult.
Dude, I'm so excited, and now I'm really starting to see the comments come in too. But so what about, and if it's too early, then that's okay. But what are you thinking in terms of an opening date?
Well, like I said, we haven't really been able to actually like 100% start yet as a result. We just don't have the permits. So most of what we've been doing is essentially just like moving things around and removing garbage. And it's like, that's really where we're at. The permits should be ready anytime, like anytime now. Could be any day. Right. And when they are, we hit the ground very quick. We were all ready. Everybody's ready. You know, we're dig ready, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Shovel ready. That's what it was.
Shovel ready.
In any case, that we are estimating, and this is a very broad estimate, I'm going to say between 2 and 4 months from the first, you know, as soon as we start to when we can open. So if we were to, what is today, today's the 27th of May. That would be 4 months from now would be what? The 27th of September. Is that right? So May, June, July, July.
Yeah.
August. Yes. Yeah. So I would say our goal is not to go past September 15th. Wow. Meaning we want to open by September 15th, but it could be as early as mid August. It really depends on a lot of kind of factors that we don't have a lot of control over as of yet, but
no, of course,
very soon, 2021 for sure.
Right. City of Bridgeport, if you're watching this, send those permits, man. Send them. We want it. We want it now. Dude,
we do want them. We want to give a thumbs up to the City of Bridgeport. They're know that they're enormously overextended, but you know, obviously it would be very helpful.
No pressure. We love you. We just want it.
But if they did listen to you, John, that would be great.
That would be ideal. Can you, cause I just, you know, I mean, I'm going through this comment section right now is there's just so much love for this venue, for what it's meant to the community. Can you talk a little bit about what the acoustics meant to you as a musician, as a resident of Black Rock?
I mean, it was just, it was like this weird built in place, a walking distance away from where I grew up, that you just, it's a special place. Most people don't have that. I mean, you know, I guess if you lived in New York City, but I mean, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, you wouldn't expect that to necessarily be there. And Rich Franzino built a gem, and it was very musician centric. And that meant that most of the clients and most of the regulars, they were all musicians. So that created this amazing culture of just like collaboration and fun and goofing off and late nights and the acoustic to me just it was everything. It really made me want to be a musician. And when it started to sort of like lose its footing, it's not like anybody did anything wrong. It's just it started, people moved away. The way that people communicated changed. Social media became a huge thing, and they didn't quite adapt, I don't think. And they just weren't, it wasn't built that way. And it started to lose the influence. That was something that definitely made me sad. And to be able to sort of say, you know what, we have ideas, we have some ways that I think we can improve those methods of getting the word out so that things like open mic can start to come back. We might actually see those, some of those musicians that we used to see come back, and or see brand new musicians that, that are moving to the area or growing up in this area start to be cultivated in that room. So I think if anybody out there that's worried about, you know, the new owner stewardship of the Acoustic, there's no one that has more, you know, respect for what the Acoustic did, what it was, what it has been. And all I want is for it to be the best version of itself. And that's what we're trying to do. It's what we're constantly thinking about.
Well, and when I said earlier that it was like this weird little fairy tale ending, like you'd written it like, oh, the Torres has bought the Acoustic and now it's saved. It's like, and just from speaking to the people that I know in the community, to who I'm sure are just all the same people, you know, but you know, I think everybody's feeling like it's really in good hands. I got a couple of fun questions that are coming in right now, but actually, you know what, before we get to that, we've been calling it the Acoustic, and it's going to be hard not to. You wrote a beautifully written post about this, just about how even you're, you know, fallen. It's hard for you to fall into the habit of it, but there has been a name change. A name change. And I, after reading your post, I get the reasons why, but for those of you who haven't, maybe you could just address the new.
You froze on me, but can you hear me? John, you there?
I'm back now. My bad. Keep going. Sure.
I think I got the question though. So, yes, we did change the name. I think primary reason is that, well, first off, it was named the Acoustic Cafe back in 2000 or 99 by Rich, who was passionate about actually bringing acoustic acts to Bridgeport. That was his he loved folk music and he loved acoustic acts. And the majority of the bands that played there were acoustic, and it was, that was what it was. And it over time started to change. Darian picked up an electric guitar or whatever. And we just started to become more non-exclusive. It wasn't like not acoustic. Certainly there was a lot of acoustic guitars on that stage, but there was also electric music and rock and roll. And there was jazz and there were organ trios. And there, I mean, just every type of music. It became more of a venue. And in 2014, when they did the name change, I actually did the logo for the Acoustic, the change from the Acoustic Cafe into the Acoustic. It was probably the first logo I ever did.
Was it really? That's cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yes, it was definitely. Sorry. Keep going. Yeah. They were thinking about it. I mean, they had even bought the URL, BlackRock Music Hall or BlackRockConcertHall.com. In the end, they felt like the name, because there was consistency with the name, that it would be hard to leave it behind. But just trying to call it the Acoustic sort of was a little hat tip to being like, hey, it's not just acoustic music. That's just the name. Right. But now I think we've just decided it's important to make it clear, especially as we are entering a national stage. We don't want to give people the wrong impression that this is only acoustic music, a place for only acoustic music. It's not anymore. And we decided the name change had to happen. Then we went into sort of a naming convention that was really fun, really actually silly and goofy.
Yeah, I was going to say, walk me through that process.
Oh, man.
That must have been a good time.
I created like a Google form with basically like a survey, sent it to first my family. And then I sent it out into like a very small group of like trusted friends and got really interesting data on like 10 names that we were tossing around. And the ones that really popped out, there was BlackRock Music Hall, which was pretty much an obvious, like everybody would have loved that. But one thing that I felt about that was A, you can't really shorten it. You can't say I'm going to the BlackRock, because 97 things in BlackRock are called BlackRock something. But as is a normal thing in a neighborhood to do that. But with Park City, you can say I'm going to show at Park City, and people would know that you're not going to Park City Ford or Park City Dental or Park City. They're going to know you mean Park City Music Hall. Right. Beyond that though, we also, you know, the Torres family, beyond just being Black Rock fixtures, we're Bridgeport. My dad, you know, moved to Bridgeport when he was 1 year old, coming from Cuba. So, we've been here since the 60s, and obviously my dad's run for mayor several times, run for different offices. He was a councilman. I've been involved with briefly Bridgeport Generation.
Keeps
now
popping in and out. It's back. I'm sorry. Okay. Keep going.
So anyway, do we just have a passion for Bridgeport? We really feel like Bridgeport is a wonderful place that just needs a break. And so yeah, Park City just sort of spoke more to us about Bridgeport pride rather than just our neighborhood pride. And it just sort of lent its a level of inclusivity that we're really excited to embrace. And then lastly, you know, Park City, a lot of people are like, oh, I thought it was in Utah. I was like, oh, I never even heard of Park City, Utah until like, I don't know. But anyway, I know it's the Park City. Bridgeporters know it's the Park City, and it's called the Park City for a reason. We have a lot of friggin' parks, and they're wonderful parks. And some of them are in disrepair. Some of them are, you know, people just don't know about. And that was just something. So even if you take a look at the branding, which obviously on radio probably won't be able to do, but on the Facebook post, I redid the brand, and we sort of incorporated aspects or elements or like nods to Bridgeport parks in our branding. And hopefully in the future, this is not something that we don't want to overpromise, but a goal of mine is to bring music to the parks in Bridgeport under the banner of Park City Presents.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we would do, you know, Beardsley Park concert series, or, you know, the Went Park concert series, and use local, you know, if it was Washington Square Park, we could, there's all kinds of like platforms that we could just literally find a band, a local, probably hopefully a local band that teams up with a local food truck. And that's pretty much it. It's actually pretty easy. So eventually we'd like to sort of export Park City Music Hall into our city's parks.
I mean, this is the time to do it, dude. You know, right now everybody's fired up and ready to go. This is, you know, and in fact, you have a show in like a half an hour that I probably have to let you get to soon.
No, I'm good.
But it's, oh, but all right. Well, good.
We're playing at this Don Memo in Westport.
Right on.
Just some fun music with fun friends and good food.
I mean, it's so great to have music back and to have news that we're going to have this venue back. It doesn't matter what the damn name is. You know what I mean? Like, it's I like your name selection, but like, you know, at the end of the day, just having this place back and having people who care about it is the most important thing. So a couple of questions I've been pulling off, just some fun stuff. If you could book anyone back for Acoustic Hall of Fame, I didn't read that part of the question. Who would be your first act? I would take this question any way you want, like old school acoustic guys or you know, just even national acts. What are you thinking?
For the national acts, I always bring this up, but I saw Corey Henry at the Acoustic, Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles, and it was just the best show.
A couple years ago. Oh my God.
I want him back bad. So, you know, Corey, if you're listening, please come back. One thing, just a quick note, and then I'll go back to the question of the Acoustic Hall of Famer. The green room is something we focused heavily on. So the green room is about three times as big as it was, and it's going to be very comfortable. So for nationally touring acts, that's a kind of a big deal. You know, you don't want to come in and not have a place to have privacy and comfort. So that's going to be a big, big focus. But then for the like Hall of Famers, I don't know. I mean, there's so many, but I mean, Darian is probably the number one Hall of Famer of the Acoustic. So he's going to have some fair kind statement of big show. I think, Chris Cavalier. I remember seeing Chris Cavalier at the Acoustic years and years ago when he was doing his acoustic like looping thing with his insane pedals.
One of the sales guys was walking around the...
I lost you. Can you hear me, John?
Person. Uh-oh. Froze again. Back again. There we go.
Okay. So one of the sales guys?
One of the sales guys saw Chris playing Bob Dylan tunes with Brian and Kenny the other day.
Yep.
Fantastic show.
Awesome.
But yeah.
So that's
I saw a question. I had it up a minute ago when you were talking about the green room.
I saw the posters again.
Yeah, the classic posters.
The classic posters.
And not just clarify. I played in a band with Josh for years. Josh, I'm sure there's not a lot of Tracy Joe and the Toads posters up there. But I appreciate you asking.
The truly classic posters were kind of gone. There's a couple that we have a pile of them. Nice. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know that we're going to put them
frame them
over.
Or something.
Oh yeah, that's that. I have time for that. That's, yeah,
right. Right. Of course. Yeah.
But you know, we yeah. That was always an evolving thing. They'll come back. They'll come back. We'll have new posters and they'll you know, new stickers, and people will probably do graffiti in our bathrooms, right. And it'll be, you know, it'll be back to its old self in no time.
And that makes sense. And yeah. I think that's a necessary evolution right there. But we'll remember that old green room. That's for sure.
I think once you come into the new green room, you're like, I'm fine with the new green room. I don't care.
What about food? What are you guys doing for food? We've kind of skirted around the subject.
Yeah, sure. So just so you know, I'm going to start walking around because I do have to pack up, but I can't finish
Please
this conversation.
Do. Please
so I'm
do.
Just going to be walking a little bit. But yeah,
I think this is really my last question. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The food program is in development right now. My brother, Alex, who is just one of the best amateur chefs I've ever met, and my mom, who's a, you know, professional caterer and all of that, and pretty much the whole Torres family, we're kind of food oriented. We're working together with internally, but also working with some amazing chef friends of ours like Michelle Michon, to develop just an amazing program. We don't know exactly how deep it's going to go, as in, like, it's not necessarily going to be like steak dinners, so we're not going to. It's going to be more like handheld deliciousness rather than like sit down table, you know, forks and knives. Well, forks and knives maybe, but just easier. Something that you can eat while watching a show that's nice. Delicious, but isn't like, you know, you don't need to sit down and have several utensils. So that's kind of the goal, is like hand foods is sort of the way we've been describing it. But yeah, also salads, sandwiches, that kind of thing. But pretty simple in the beginning, just kind of keeping it simple, something for everyone, but not a ton, like not a ton of items, not a very long menu, if that makes any sense. But I don't have specifics for you yet.
Not a problem, dude. You know, listen, I want to let you get to your gig, and I want to say thank you for sitting down and doing this with me, dude. This has been so awesome. For people watching, don't worry. As soon as I end the live feed, you can go back. You can watch the whole thing from the beginning. We're also going to be playing clips of this interview on 95.9 The Fox this Sunday. We're going to be playing some Color Fields music from John Torres and Scott Packham this Sunday. And I think I'm going to put together a little playlist of some Black Rock All-Stars. I've got more than enough music in the tank to do that. So we're celebrating the new Park City Music Hall, which we shall be calling it from now on. John Torres, the manager of the upcoming Park City Music Hall. Thank you so much, dude. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Dude, great time. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks for sticking around.
You got it.